I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Big story of the day. All right, we'll get into this. We've got somebody that can, you know, really talk to us about all this merging potential between maybe the Mountain West and the Pac-2. But right now, what we're hearing is the Mountain West and Pac-2 are believed to be working on merging under the former Pac-12 banner for 2025 and beyond. I want to get into those details. Mike Sanford, the Mike Sanford, sitting in studio with me throughout the day today, man. It's been so much fun. It's been a blast.
It is. We even got to break some bread, man. It was awesome.
We did. We, of course, we went to lunch during the Jack Howell show because we recorded that before, so it was fun, dude.
Awesome.
Making a day of it here in Greeley. Where do you want to go next?
I could go to Weldworks.
Yeah, let's go there. That sounds good.
Have a nice, tasty libation to cap off an awesome day in Greeley.
I think that would work just fine. Micah, you take over. You get the rest of the show. We're out. Okay, so you tweeted this out earlier today, right, about your Pac-8 plan. And I like it. I'm in on it. I want to talk to you about it. But here's what we know right now. We heard about, obviously, Oregon State and Washington State kind of winning their case. So they run the show now. They're going to be able to vote on everything. Potentially, that comes down to revenue, too. I mean, the other team's not going to get maybe any of that money this
year. And I think it's for the 23-24 calendar year.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of money.
A lot of money there. So now you wonder what's next. And this obviously has playoff meaning to it as well, because we've got the expansion of the playoffs next year. They edited it a bit last week by just saying the top five conference champs will get a playoff spot and then seven at large. Well, a lot of like the CSU people in the Mount West said, okay, well, that really doesn't change. You could still be a top Mount West team, get in. But I still say, well, what happens with the Pac-2? Do they become something bigger? And then they'll probably get that look. They get 2 years, right? The Pac-2, Oregon State, Washington State, they get like a 2-year grace period to try to figure out what kind of conference they're going to be. And now it sounds like they're going to be working with the Mount West in some combination. We're just not 100% sure just yet.
What it sounds like right now from just reading some statements, reading some tea leaves, at least for 2024, it sounds like that Oregon State and Washington State are going to, they've already worked a deal out with Gloria Navarez of the Mountain West Conference to have scheduling merging, but just scheduling, not a full conference merge, but to have a agreement with Mountain West Conference schools, which is enticing to Mountain West schools.
Sure.
Because they want a piece of the pie. Of
yep.
The pie. And so, like, I just falling for Boise State, for example, Boise State's non-conference schedule in 2024 is at Oregon, and this is before this merge, at Oregon. Oregon State is coming to the Blue, playing at Albertson Stadium in Boise. And then it was going to be, originally it was Memphis, then they added Portland State, and they're at Georgia Southern. So what's going to happen is, obviously, they're going to continue with that Oregon State game, because that's already kind of in this new merge of scheduling. And then they're probably going to end up dropping a Mountain West Conference game and adding Washington State. So now Boise State's non-conference is going to be Oregon State, Washington State at Georgia Southern.
Wow.
Georgia Southern, not Georgia State, which is a brutal Mountain West Conference non-conference schedule.
So what you understand about this so far, Mike, is help me out, man. With all the conference realignment that we've witnessed the last 6 months to a year or whatever, that plus the playoff talks, I mean, there's just so many changes going on. What does next year look like then? Is Oregon State, will they just stay a conference of two, but they're going to play Mountain West teams, and then they play in their own championship game at the what does it look like next year? What do you think anyway?
I'm guessing there's not going to be a championship game next season.
Okay.
But I think that the wheels are going to start getting in motion to be able to get a new Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12. And my proposal, which I tweeted out, and you and I spoke about on the air yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
I tweeted it out this morning, and I've tweeted out in my life, but usually as a coach that's representing a university, you have to filter your tweets. You can't put a hot take out there. So I threw a hot take out there, and this tweet
it's
that I sent
nuts,
out
man.
Is gotten me a lot of new best friends
mm-hmm.
and a lot of enemies. And this is what I proposed. after the 2024 schedule agreement year, I have the 2025 or 6 Pac-8. And the reason I'm excited about the Pac-8, which I told you yesterday, is because my dad played in the old Pac-8, which is basically what the Pac-12 was, minus the four corner schools. Mm-hmm. So the Pac-8 was Oregon, Oregon State, Washington, Washington State, Stanford, Cal, USC, UCLA.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. So yep. It basically was a true coastal conference. And then the four corner schools were added and became the Pac-12, the Pac-10 first with Arizona and Arizona State happened in the 70s. Okay. So the Pac-8 reformed. 2026 edition, we'll call it. I think it'll probably be 25. And the way it's going to happen is that that money that now the Pac-2 or the Tupac now is going to be able to get because of the remainder of the 24 year, they're going to get all of that revenue for all that these departing schools, once they signed with their new conference, whether it be the ACC, the Big 12, or the Big 10, they have now lost their voting rights effective right now.
Mm-hmm.
So now there are two voting members, Oregon State and Washington State. So they can decide how to distribute that revenue. Well, they're going to use that revenue to build a big bank in order to rebuild the conference and pay for exit fees from the Mountain West Conference. But I think that they're going to work lock in step with the Mountain West Conference in order to kind of merge slash rebrand this new PAC conference, whether it's the PAC 8, whether it's the PAC Mountain, the PAC West, whatever it may be. I propose the PAC 8 in 2025 is Oregon State, Washington State. We know that. Yep. Two givens. Third one I have is Boise State. It's hard to argue with the last 25 years of success. It's becoming a large market because of 2 million people, 1.5 million people have moved there in the last 15 years, mostly from California. CSU, huge market, state of Colorado, keep a regional rivalry, Air Force. Then you have to add a major California market that does not possess a pro sports team, and that's San Diego State. And I think that program is a sleeping giant, as we talked about yesterday. I said number seven would be Fresno State. And then I think one of the largest emerging sports markets in America is Las Vegas, and a hot football team right now, and a basketball power in UNLV. And now you have the Pac-8. I omitted Utah State. I omitted New Mexico, Wyoming. Sorry. Okay. And I omitted Nevada and San Jose State. There's one other. Hawaii.
And Hawaii. Yeah. Well.
Okay. And here's why. You want, if you're going to leave the Mountain West Conference, you want to join a conference with eight teams. Why? Because now your share of the revenue is greater. There's less divisibles, right? So you don't have to divide that by 14. You also, as a Pac-8, want to add areas strategically that bring value relative to the market, but also bring an exciting brand of football and basketball, but football pays the bills. And in this new conference realignment, people are blasting me right now that this is not what the athletics model is. Really? Have you seen what's happened in college football?
Why would they say it's not what the athletics model is?
Because originally it was supposed to be an academic model. We're way past that.
We're not
by
even
by the portal and NIL
as far as like geographically wise, like you're traveling all over the country now with some of these other conferences, so that doesn't necessarily make
sense. And this would actually be one of the last remaining actual like geographic conferences.
Be in the West, it would actually make sense. All these schools that you're mentioning, and even when you bring up, you know, you said leave room for the return of potential Stanford, Cal, UCLA, and Arizona State, still makes sense.
Because those schools, and right now they took the shiny object, which was the big money of the Big Ten, ACC, even in the Big 12 in some instances, with Arizona State, those teams already in doing their scheduling for next year and figuring out the logistics of travel for next season, they realized that budget that they thought they were going to have was going to be all this big new money.
Yeah.
It's not exactly what they thought it was. No. And they're going to, I mean, all these other sports, the Olympic sports, you can say that they don't make any decisions. They have to make some decisions, especially in 2023, relative to mental health of student athletes. It's going to be an absolute beatdown for these athletes. And they're going to be fatigued by all these trips, Utah, hey, by the way, your volleyball team is going to go play West Virginia. It's going to go play UCF, you're going to go play all these Big 12 schools that are all over the country. It makes absolutely no sense for Olympic sports and even college football. You're going to be playing some of these games late on the West Coast, and then even some of the late slots on the East Coast. You get home at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, you're talking about like volleyball, and we look at basketball too. We're sitting here on a Thursday. We're watching a Wyoming basketball game right now. I mean, and they're playing on Thursdays. They're playing on Tuesdays, and they're going to be maybe across the country in some respects, and they're not going to get done till late. They're not going to go home. Oh, and then they're probably going to be expected to show up for class the next day or whatever. Yeah, so there's just so many interesting things when it comes to the conference realignment that this actually would cross, would check off all those boxes, I think. Competitive? I think you could get competitive, sure. And then obviously staying within the realm of travel ease for these student-athletes. So this would actually be one of the conferences that makes the most sense.
I mean, I think it would actually tie back into what I think people are longing for once these conferences become national conferences, is I think everybody still identifies with regional rivalries. They still identify with covering a region of the country where you're used to getting to know these athletes. Well, like CU playing in the Big 12, I mean, what does UCF and West Virginia mean to them? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can say Kansas State. You know, that's an old, you know, Big 12 rivalry with CU. But outside of that, there's really not the traditional Big 12. Like, the Big 12 now has a massive asterisk next to it.
Oh,
it's not,
no
it's
question.
Not the Big 12 CU played in 15 years ago.
You're going to have to come in and do what, you know, Coach Mack did years ago when he went with Nebraska, when the Buffs didn't have a rivalry. And you're going to have to manifest one. You're going to have to create a rival. You're going to have to come in and just say, there it is. That's going to be our guy. Let's start talking crap about them. That's what Primetime's probably going to have to do.
He will.
He wouldn't have an issue with that.
I would say it'd be a Texas school, but which one of those Texas schools that's remaining is like a power?
Yeah.
Baylor? Not right now.
No.
Haven't been consistently for the last 25 years. They've had their nice runs. Texas Tech? Nope. Houston? Gosh, no. They're barely competitive.
Suddenly, the Big 12 doesn't look as cool as what potentially you're writing up here for the Pac-8,
baby.
And I've got my, forgive me, Coach, you know, I'm not as smart as you. I've got my little cheat sheet here. But when you look at the Big 12 with all those teams leaving that we've talked about, I mean, this Pac-8 could almost suddenly rival what they're doing in the next 2 to 5 whatever years.
I'd argue that over the last 25 years that these 8 teams, you think about Oregon State has had great runs. And not, you know, not national championship runs, but great runs of national relevance. You know, Washington State always has been a very unique fan base. They've had Rose Bowl runs in the last quarter of a century. Boise State, the winningest program in college football over the last 25 years.
Yeah. You know, always in the thick of it.
CSU, I think, is primed for an awesome run coming in the next year or two. You know, and then Air Force is just, it seems like every other year they're a 10-11 win team. You know, you look at San Diego State. I mean, you can't find a better place to do college athletics right now because there is a massive population base with no pro sports team. And then you look at Fresno State. They've been in the top 25. It seems perennially every 2-3 years over the last 25 years. And then UNLV is this hot new brand in college sports because it's become the hot place for pro sports.
Las Vegas is becoming a mecca, a sports mecca, of course. When we look at all the pro teams that are coming in, UNLV should be able to, you know, reap some of the benefits
they
from that.
They already are.
Yeah, they already are.
They're an 8-2 football team. My dad was the head football coach there in 2005 to 2009. It was a lot different environment back then than it is now for sports.
No question about it. Now, I agree with you. Like, I like Wyoming. I talk Wyoming. I get it.
You have to.
That doesn't have the national appeal. It just doesn't.
And I do think that the Mountain West also rebrands and makes a really cool regional conference with some of the best FCS schools to be brought up.
Like a Montana
State. The two Montana schools. I mean, I think their facilities and their fan bases, they rival current Mountain West programs.
I think you're 100% right. And UNC would be happy about that, right? Get those guys out of here.
and then I think you bring up North Dakota State and South Dakota State University, two of the more dominant football teams in FCS football over the last 10, 15, 20 years. years. Craig Bull can attest to that as the guy who built that program.
Yeah.
I think that you bring in some interesting California programs potentially. I don't know which ones exactly, whether it be Sac State, which is a fairly large media market, even UC Davis, those two are rivals and they're within 40 miles of each other. So I think there's options. University of Idaho, I don't think that they need to make another trip up to Division I because they've done it before. And they, frankly, didn't go well. And they're doing very well at FCS.
Are you getting pushback on putting Air Force in there and then leaving out like a San Jose State? And I guess you're getting pushback on the Utah State too.
Yeah, well, I coach there,
Yeah.
And I love that program. But I also think about peers as it relates to media markets. Utah State's an hour and a half from Salt Lake City. Between BYU and Utah, there's no bandwidth remaining to cover Utah State football. That's a reality in that Salt Lake market. They're a great program, tradition rich in a lot of different sports, really good basketball program. But, the bottom line is that you need TV eyeballs. And where you have to pull the TV eyeballs from are either the perennially like powerful programs like a Boise State or big media markets like San Diego and Las Vegas.
Yeah. No, and that all makes sense. So you would put Air Force in mainly because the success that they've had, and they're going to continue to have Air Force every single year. I don't know what their ceiling would look like. Obviously, losing to Army and Hawaii this year was tough for them. But every year, like you said, you can pencil them in for like 8+ wins. They're going to do that. And I don't necessarily care who they play. That style can really work against almost anybody. Maybe obviously not like the top dogs in college football, but like outside of the top 15, Air Force is going to be competitive. And if you are on a big market, more people will get to learn about that tough team. And so then you would grow as far as getting those eyeballs looking at a team like Air Force.
Yeah, and I think even the Air Force, their games against Army and Navy are always
national
yep. games. And so it's great to have, that brand in your conference. The academics, the prestige of a service academy, I think certainly helps. And whether it's a group of five school, a new conference, or it's a Power Five, I think, to be honest, Brady, I think it's Power Two. There's only two conferences that really stand above, like clearly are going to be standing above everybody, and that is the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yep.
Everything else right now with all the realignment, I believe Clemson and Florida State, they will join the SEC. And then I think it'd be interesting to see what happens in terms of the Big Ten and making two true superpower conferences.
Big Hub says, will they still be Power Five? Would you then consider, if this goes through the way, and I agree with you, by the way, this is something I've been talking about for a while, as far as does the Mountain West just jump on with what the Pac-12 has, Pac-2, whatever, Pac-8? The TV contracts, they'll have to figure that out as they go. But then would we consider this a Power 5 conference?
I really think that 5 years from now, it's going to be Power 2.
So you think this is a nice thing, but it's still at the end of the day going to be basically college football's NFC and AFC is going to be the SEC and the Big Ten.
That's exactly what's happened. Yeah. It's already taken place. Everybody sees it. That's where all the revenue's going. The TV deals are so much bigger. The alumni giving, the facilities, like it's
they're mini NFLs now, and in some respects they're bigger.
People are talking about Dan Campbell as an alum of Texas A&M leaving the Detroit Lions because the payday would be bigger at Texas A&M.
Well, and you know this. I mean, college coaches, sometimes they're given keys to the city a lot faster than an NFL coach is. They are treated like gold.
You immediately become the general manager, the head coach, and the owner.
Yeah, you're everything. right. You have way
Nick
more
Saban
power.
Is a NFL franchise in one human.
Yes, you're 100% right. So that all being said, with the college football playoff expansion, which I said they did make a slight edit last week, at the end of last week, do you see ultimately that the college football playoffs will look at this and just go, it's between those two. We're bringing those in. The rest of you guys do your bowl thing, but we're doing just between those two conferences. Like 5-10 years. Do you see that happening?
I still think there'll be a seat at the table, 1, 2, 3, or 4 for these not like super two conferences.
Mm-hmm.
I still think they'll probably end up being like, they should go to a 16 team playoff. 12 should be drawn from the SEC and the Big Ten, which is hilarious. The Big Ten's gonna have like 20 teams.
Yeah,
it's called the Big 20. It's
yeah.
cool. Well, like it's okay.
Stop naming your conferences after numbers
that aren't relevant.
We have learned that now,
yeah.
right? Because those numbers are probably not going to exist in the next couple of years or whatever.
The great thing about the Pac is that it's been the Pac-8, it's been the Pac-10, it's been the Pac-12. Pac-12, and now it's the Tupac.
I think they should just go with the Tupac, yeah. And then people like 20 years from now will be like, why do they call it the Tupac? There's more than two teams, but it doesn't matter.
It's just representing the greatest rapper of all time who happened to live in the West Coast. So it's
right
the
now,
Tupac.
It represents a 12-pack of beer.
Yeah.
12-pack.
Yeah, that's exactly something. Yes, but when you look at the naming of these conferences and stuff, just I like the Pac West idea because. And then you get into trouble if you start bringing Eastern teams, and then people get confused.
Don't
again.
Bring them in.
Yeah, don't bring them in. You're not.
Well,
you're
I look at it from a real estate standpoint, right? If you're a realtor, you want to be in highly desirable areas of the country. Where are those places? They're in the West.
Yeah,
they are. I mean, in the South, real estate's nowhere near what it is here in the Western United States.
You're telling me.
So, hey, let's keep our supremacy, and you could even call it our arrogance of how awesome the West is, and embrace that, make that your brand, and then I think become some entity that is attractive for people to come back to. And that's to me going to be the key to all this.
I look at this too, you know, on this show, and you and I have talked a little bit about how what we kind of do on this program is we talk regionally. We don't just talk CSU. We don't just talk, you know, Broncos necessarily. We talk about the region of sports. So when you are clumped together in more of a region in a western side of the country, I think potentially there's just more interest. There's more media guys coming together. There's more rivalry potential, all of that. But when you start spreading out throughout the country, unless you have the power of the NFL, which nobody does, it's very difficult to really create that brand. So that's just another point where if you keep it all in the West, you're going to create more of that gigantic conversation around what you're doing.
And I think when you look at like even history in terms of like manifest destiny and some of these empires that were built, these empires that spread themselves too thin, they all collapsed.
Yeah.
You know, that happened. I think the United States, and I'm not trying to make this a history lesson, but the United States had the ability to make it a manifest destiny type of an empire. And we just kept it 50. We kept it 50 states. We kept it one singular mainland and added just Hawaii and just Alaska. And then we just said, you know, we're good.
Yeah.
And that's why it survived for so long.
That's a great point.
But you think of some of these other empires over the course of history, they got too big for their britches. And I think the same is going to come. It's going to come out eventually. It's going to be a while, right? And we're dealing with the fallout of the decisions that were made because of all the greed of TV money and TV money really dictating where people play their games and where, you know, all the money is. Schools are going to follow it. But that's going to come tumbling down at some point.
It's really fascinating. Again, Oregon State, Washington, like there's a movie that should be made about what happened here. If the casual person could understand, but Washington State, Oregon State, 5 months ago, whatever, it felt like, man, those poor guys, you know, everybody's leaving and they're getting left behind. And they're like, no, not so fast. We're going to fight for our rights and all that
stuff.
To party.
And you know what? They are partying right now.
Oh, they are celebrating big time.
And I think the reason that they're partying is everybody knew that they're going to have the ability to attract some of those Mountain West schools, but they didn't know that they'd have the revenue to do so. And after this ruling that happened in court in the state of Washington, they now have a little bit more coin in their pocket to be able to bring some more people to. Now it's not going to be like a garage party with Bush Light. I mean, they have
a chance
a chance to make this like, you know, with Coors Light.
Coors, and
champagne even maybe.
Did you ever see the movie Draft Day?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of the movie. I love Kevin Costner though, so he could do anything. But you know, at the end when he's making all of his moves and he's making trades and all that stuff, everybody thinks he's crazy and they're like, "Dude, you're the Browns. You're going to end up sucking again. It's all going to be bad." And then somehow, some way, he finds a way to have his cake and eat it too. He gets all the guys that he wants ultimately, makes his coach happy. That's what I think. Like Oregon State, Washington State, in this whole situation, they were struggling along throughout the course of this year, throughout this process, and everybody thought, "Man, you guys are just going to crumble. The great teams are going off," and then they keep making their calls. They keep fighting their fight, and they come out on top.
Well, Washington State has one of the most intelligent athletic directors, Pat Chun, and I think he was playing chess.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of other people were playing checkers, and I think he ultimately used some of his relationships in the state of Washington to be able to, you know, set forth a very good case for why these other Pac-12 members should not have voting rights because they abandoned the conference. And here we are. There is going to be a lot of litigation going forward.
Oh, so much.
This is not, the story is not yet written, but at least right now we can talk about what's going on right now. Oregon State and Washington State, I think like Washington State in particular, they've always had that flag planted at every college game day for the last, how it seems like, 2 decades. I mean, they have planted their flag literally and figuratively in college football to say that we're not going anywhere and we're going to recreate something on the West Coast and it's going to end up being a really good brand. And I hope they give me a call to be their commissioner because you can tell I'm passionate about it and I'm ready to roll.
Well, that's my next question. Outside of you, who is going to be the commissioner of all this? Let's take a quick break. Mike Sanford joining us in studio. Perfect timing to do this, by the way. I don't think you're going to get many more as passionate as you are about this whole situation. So I absolutely love it. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
We went way long in that last segment, but that's what happens when you have great content. Mike Sanford joining me in studio. Perfect timing, too, as we're talking about what could potentially happen with a new conference in the Pac-8 with Oregon State and Washington State ultimately winning their case, what that looks like for the Mountain West. You mentioned Gloria Navarez, the Mountain West commissioner. Do you see her playing even a bigger part in this thing? Perhaps she's the new commissioner, or she's the commissioner of this Pac-8.
I think she is a superstar.
Yeah, I do too.
And she has also been just kind of lying in the weeds, just kind of having a lot of, I know this to be true based on very close sources to all the things that have been going on over the course of the last 5 months since the fallout of, you know, the Pac-12 dissolving. She's been meeting with powers that be, having really good conversations, and everybody loves having her at the table because there's rationale, there's intelligence, there's forward thinking, there's visionary. I think she'd make a fantastic commissioner if they don't offer me the job. And I think Gloria is probably a little bit better suited for this than I am. But I tell you this, if you're listening, Gloria, I will go blow for blow with you in terms of being an awesome, passionate advocate for this new Western United States football and, you know, all sports conference.
Next time we do a show together, we'll get you back in here. We're going to do like an on-air interview, and you go through that process of what you would do, how you would make this thing rock.
I think I just did it.
Yeah. That's it.
I think that last segment was my interview.
And you just dropped the mic.
It's a mic drop. Yeah. And my name is Mike, and I do have a segment on Bronco Nation News called the Mic Drop.
So oh, I love it, man.
I do enjoy getting on a soapbox from time to time. And, you know, I think that that's why this media thing is fun for me to do, because it's very fun to get passionate about certain topics and let it eat.
You said something to me earlier when we were grabbing lunch about your newfound kind of passion for the NFL. And I just start thinking about this with college. Now, I love college football. I love the process. I love these conversations. But it is confusing. All of it is extremely confusing. What the NFL is, so it's just like, I think you said it. You used the term. It's clean. It's just so freaking clean. This is fun for sports guys like us, Mike, to be able to talk about what these conferences are going to look like, what these playoffs are going to look like, things like that. But that's where I think the NFL captures every fan, the diehards plus the casuals, because it's so damn easy. This is complicated. It's fun, but extremely, extremely complicated.
And I think, you know, Brady, when I think about just even, I've never had an opportunity over the course of being a student athlete and then a coach, which really covers almost 25 years, I've never had the opportunity to just like partake in a Saturday of college football. And obviously, with having been around so many different coaches that I have friendships with, different places that I've coached at. I certainly made no friends in Logan, Utah with the Utah State crowd, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I love my time there. It was 1 year, you know, and like there's not a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that is still in Logan. But what I would say is that it's really hard to follow like college football on a Saturday unless you have one team you care about. You know, the NFL is so fun just as a somebody who just wants to watch football, track games. Like, you can do, there's, you know, what, max five games playing at a time? Seven is kind of the high number.
Yeah.
And so you can watch this, you know, you can on NFL Sunday Ticket and go, you know, from one game to the next, and you're like, okay, this is a really good game. Or, you know, I love as now as a Broncos fan and a Packers fan, because I did coach Jordan Love at Utah State. He's the closest thing that I would say is my deep, loyal allegiance to that university. I would say that, you know, 11 a.m., I'm all in on the Packers. And if the game's close, I'm staying there. If the game's not close, then I can immediately know just by looking at the scores, I'm going to this one.
Yep.
Whereas in college football, there's like 30 games on at a time.
I'm one of those guys where I need you. I know we'll take a break here. I need you to lay it out for me so I can watch it. You tell me what's on, I'm going to get into it. I don't care, you know. But when I tried the Sunday Ticket thing and my mind was all over the place. I was like, I want to go to that game, to that game. I like being able to just be told what to watch. All right, 40 minutes after the hour. Mike, I do this thing called the best radio segment in the history of the world. My grandma calls it that. I pick the Thursday night game. We got Ravens, we got Bengals tonight, so I'm going to need your help on my pick, and it's going to blow you away. So I hope you're ready for this. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
You are obviously extremely entertaining. You should know your role and shut your mouth!
Everybody still thinks that I absolutely suck!
Oh, excuse the Rock 1 second. Excuse the Rock. His cell phone's going off. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Kakao, hello. Hey, it's nothing. He says he knows you.
What is your name?
I told you!
It doesn't matter what your name is!
Yes, the most electrifying man in sports and entertainment was The Rock. But now it's Lamar Jackson. So Thursday night special time, Mike Sanford. This is, like I said, Time Magazine's wanting to do a piece on it. Sports Illustrated, all these great outlets. You probably have heard of it. Thursday night special. I pick this game, and I've struggled this year. So, you know, the critics are wondering if I should hang it up. So
listen, man.
Yeah.
The critics?
Yeah. Stupid.
They're dumb.
Yeah, they are.
They stink.
I don't.
And I hate them.
You take them down for me. Anybody that criticizes the segment, you're like 8 feet tall, by the way. Bengals, Ravens, Baltimore is a 3.5-point favorite. Now, the Bengals, 5-4. They've had their moments where they're really good. They look really good. Burrow looks great. And then there's moments where you're just scratching your head wondering, what happened to the Bengals? Baltimore? Last week, they stumbled with the Browns, of course. Now we hear Deshaun Watson's out for the season. But Baltimore looks like they could. They're right on the cusp of maybe being a real contender. Looking at this game, it's in Baltimore on Prime Video tonight. Al Michaels, get up for this one, man. I know last week was boring, but get up for this one.
Wake up.
Yeah, come on.
Al, let's go, man.
Why don't you jump in there instead of Kirk, man? I mean, is it Kirk?
Kirk Herbstreit, yeah.
And I like Kirk Herbstreit on
that's
the
my
college
guy.
Side. But
that's
on the,
my buddy.
But the NFL side?
What about me and Kirk?
Can you do the play-by-play?
That'd be tough.
Yeah, you got it. Just act excited. You know, here, punt return for a touchdown.
Get some Gus. What's my man Gus?
Yeah.
Gus Johnson?
Yes. To the sideline. You know, that kind of stuff. Okay.
You gotta be kidding me. There's no way.
That's all you need to do. That is it. That's more than what Al Michaels did.
And that was a game-winning touchdown.
And then punt return, he's running, and it's a touchdown. That's it. All right. Who do you like? Who do you like in this one?
I think that the Bengals' uneven season has been more in line with Joe Burrow's health, which was early in the season, coming off the training camp calf injury. Questionable health. He's healthy now.
So what are you doing?
Joey B.
You're going with the Bengals?
And I'm taking the Bengals, and I'm taking the money line. I'm all in on the Bengals.
Taking the Bengals to win outright tonight?
You betcha.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my God.
There's only one caveat.
Yeah.
If John Harbaugh enlists the services of Connor Stallions, now unemployed by the University of Michigan, may or may not have been intrinsically linked with John Harbaugh's brother. You have Connor Stallions now not decoding signals, but decoding the calls and lip reading at an elite level and using that military tactics that he's used, then the Bengals win this game.
And I think that maybe he is there somehow, even in spirit. So because of that, and of course the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment, I like the Ravens to cover 3.5.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore.
Fourth and one, a fake, Jackson, room, first down, touchdown!
While I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping.
He releases Jackson.
The theme of this, this is good. Angel did a good job.
Landry's got free. Lamar couldn't get it to him, but he caught it anyway!
It's the power of Lamar, man.
I do love me some Lamar.
Oh, man, I love Lamar. I love Lamar.
With the Raven, nevermore. Mm.
Third down and six.
Big poetry guy? Or,
Odell Beckham.
Now that's poetry.
That's poetry in motion.
That's poetry right there. All right, so Mike and I disagree. It happens, but maybe not. Maybe
that makes for good radio.
If Connor Stallions is involved, although I think he's got some property in Sheridan, Wyoming, too.
Connor does. Oh, he does.
Oh, okay. We got to talk. We do got to take a break, though. 49 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Special guest in studio, Mike Sanford. We'll be right back.
KFKA is your NoCo home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Don't forget, we have Rams Weekly coming up at 5 o'clock. I'll be back in studio with Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado one. Mike Sanford has joined me the entire show today, man. It was such a blast. You are, whatever you end up doing, if you decide not to get into the coaching side of things, the media thing, man, you have it down.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. It's because people like you, Brady, give me a chance to get reps at it. It's like anything else, right? You just need to keep working at it. You know, it's weird to have a pivot in life at 41. You know, not everybody pivots, but some people do. And, you know, I think it's something I'm passionate about. And it's a whole heck of a lot of fun being here in Greeley doing this with you.
Well, you're a talented guy. And when you're at those levels coaching for as many years as you had, and of course, playing at those levels, you know you're talented to be able to make that transition. Now, if I, on the other hand, wanted to say at 41, I'm going to go coach CU for a little bit, that might be a little more difficult. I don't think that works both ways.
I believe in you, Brady. Yeah. You can do it.
I just throw it every down, never punt. I'm not going to punt the ball, dude.
There was
stupid.
A high school coach, Kevin Kelly, in the state of Arkansas that flat out never punted.
That's my hero.
Went for two every time.
That's me.
I don't think he's coaching anymore. He may be.
Hail Mary every play, just go deep. Mike, thanks so much, man. Freaking honor to have you in studio. Let's do it again.
Let's do it, man. And you know what? Hey, go Rammies. Go get
Rams.
Some bowl eligibility, baby. You got 2 weeks to get it done.
Beat that wolf pack. All right, that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.